The old man struggled to his feet and turned to face the albino, who was now standing a few feet back, knife in one hand, the other dangling loose and empty. He stood impassive, watching while Doc picked up his swordstick and the Lama.
This is most trusting of you.
She figure could still take you. Anyway, everything said to me truth.
That is nice to know. So I shall warn you to cover your ears. This may be a little loud in here.
With which, Doc turned and loosed the shot charge of the Lama toward the far end of the hollow, to where the horseman would be waiting, and away from Jack.
What the hell?
But when Doc turned and smiled at him, that crazy old man grin that he had seen so many times, all Jack's instincts told him that whatever it was that had snapped Doc back to normal, it was no fraud. This was the Doc he knew so well. The old man grinned.
Just to put them off the scent, dear boy. They will be expecting some kind of firefight or fight to be going on in here, so why not give them that? Besides, it'll buy us some more time to talk, and we need to, believe me.
Yeah, and you'll do most. Glad I not have to chew you, Doc.
Oh, so am I, dear boy. So am I. But this still does not solve our big problem. How do we get out of here without arousing the suspicion of the riders? And how do we deal with Christy and Ryan?
There are two problems, Doc. First one's simple. They're at that end.
He pointed to the far end of the hollow, where he had heard the riders travel.
Waiting for you to come out winner, or for me to run with you chasing. So we do at that end where we came in, and if you just follow me, then we can lose them. That's one problem.
Doc nodded, reloading his Lama as Jack spoke.
Sounds reasonable. Although I must confess that my first impulse is to go and put a load of shot through those cold-hearted scum for making me feel as I did.
Later, Doc. Safer when sweeter. First get Ryan and Christy back.
Which may not be as easy as it was with me, I fear. Oh, the perfect irony of it. My insanity saves me from doing something insane. But they are quite sane, and so the hypnosis may have bitten deep into them. It may not be so easy to shift as it was for myself.
Chance I have to take. If chance four of us kick shit out of Ethan in his sack, much better than two.
I have to say I admire your reasoning. I would love to show Ethan a thing or two about being on the receiving end of one of his schemes. But that will have to wait. First thing is to actually get to Ryan and Christy.
Not problem. As soon as I had first shot, bet change direction to move in here.
In which case, we'd better get moving, dear boy. We need to try to capture Ryan and Christy.
Leave to me, Doc. Not want to make hunters too suspicious.
No, I think it would be best if we approached them together. At the moment, they feel that we are all against you. They feel that because it has been implanted in their minds. We have to undermine that, to make them see that you and I are now fighting together, just as we all did, and will again.
Maybe so. But gotta do that and stop Ethan Sex seeing it and firing on us.
Ah, dear boy, did anyone ever tell us that it was going to be easy? But the harder the struggle, the greater the prize. Now, run, dear boy. Run as swiftly as the wind, though not so fast that I cannot keep up.
Okay, let's go.
The albino took off for the opening to the hollow, through which they had both entered, being careful to avoid the covered root systems. Doc followed, wincing at the pain he felt in his ankle and calf from the fall he had taken. It hurt, but it wasn't enough to slow him, and he hoped that he would be able to keep up with Jack. Jack came out into the light, running for a crop of trees on the far side of the path where he had first ambushed Doc. It seemed a little self-defeating to head back that way, but there were tall trees that he could climb to find Ryan and Christie's position, and they wouldn't be expecting him to double back as they closed in on the hollow, following the sounds of Doc's Lama. This would buy Doc and himself just enough time to formulate some kind of plan. Which one of the companions would they tackle first if they had the chance? For surely they couldn't take them both on and expect to come out of it still standing. He looked back over his shoulder and could see Doc chasing after him. The old man was limping slightly from his injury, but was gamely keeping pace with the albino. As Jack looked back, so Doc too cast a glance over his shoulder to see where the hunters were. They were barely visible, circling around from the far end of the hollow. The Baron and the trader were excitedly yelling at each other, their words lost over the distance. But it was noticeable to both companions that Grey Horse, bringing up the rear, was silent. The dreadlocked Sec Chief wouldn't be easy to deceive as they put their plans into operation. Jack and Doc against Ryan and Christy would be hard enough, Doc's relative weakness evening the score, if not turning it in their pursuers' favor. But Jack and Doc against Ryan, Christie, and 9 mounted and armed men? That was pushing it, to say the least. Jack sprinted across the relatively open patch of ground, flinching when he heard the ball chamber of the Lama detonate behind him. But unable to resist a wry chuckle, when foliage in front and the left of him fell victim to the shot. If Doc wasn't careful, his deliberate misses would become a little too obvious. Jack reached the cover of the trees and took a running leap at the tallest, grabbing an overhanging branch and hauling himself up into the upper reaches. He watched Doc reach the cover and put down an arm to help the older man as he struggled, unable to get a sufficient push from his injured leg. As Doc settled in the canopy cover beside him, Jack gestured for him to be silent. They sat and watched as the 3 horsemen entered the cover, the Baron and the trader cursing as the lower branches hit out at them when they passed through.
"Where are those tiresome beasts gone? This is really too bad. It's not turning out quite as I would have hoped."
"They must have cut through quicker than we can. They're on foot. Let's press on through there."
He indicated a channel through the trees.
"See if we can pick them up on the far side of this."
"That's if they don't double back again."
"Not likely. They're on a straight chase this time. We can't make that kind of mistake again."
Gray Horse was unaware of the 2 men above his head. Jack and Doc stayed still until the 3 horsemen were out of earshot, and then the albino moved swiftly and silently into the top of the tree. Doc waited patiently until Jack descended once more.
"Ryan is at 3 o'clock, Christie at 7. He has more cover, but she's going to be easier to take because we can use the raccoons."
Doc just stared wide-eyed at what the teen had just said.
"Pardon?"
"Surprise half for Ryan, but things not gone to plan. We use them to run the horsemen away, give us time with her."
"Dear boy, I am currently in the dark, but I will trust your judgment. Lead on, and just tell me what you require me to do."
Jack dropped through the branches to the forest floor, followed by Doc. This wasn't going to be easy, and speed would be of the essence. After the dust had settled and the noise had diminished, it took Mildred and Michaela a few seconds to gather themselves and make their way across to the gray concrete buildings that held the key to getting JB on his feet. The ruins of the old city were still and quiet, with nothing to hinder their progress or to sidetrack them. And yet it still seemed as though they couldn't move fast enough over the rubble-strewn streets. It was only a 5 to 10 minute trot with the gurney, but it sure seemed to Mildred that it took much longer. She was aware of the sun above them sinking slowly as twilight began to fall. She was troubled by the stillness of the waxy-skinned armorer, even his fever-induced ravings now quieted as he entered the next stage of his infection. She had to keep going, to forget about anything else except putting one foot in front of the other, as she and Michaela made their way across the ruined sidewalks and blacktop streets to the old hospital buildings. All of a sudden, the girl gasped from behind Mildred as they approached the trio of buildings.
"Second one along. The basement's through a strong room door at the back."
Mildred realized the fast pace she had been setting, expecting the healer to keep up, and a pang of conscience pricked at her. But there wasn't any choice. The 2 women, JB's gurney suspended between them, made their way through the burned-out frontage of the building. Mildred could see that at one time it had been the reception area of a private clinic or research facility. The remains of office furniture and sofas for clientele still littered the front of the building, while the bleached-out remains of framed prints either still hung, by some miracle, on the walls or lay on the floor.
"No one's bothered to tidy up lately."
"After Bones first found this place, it wasn't long before Ethan stopped anyone, except himself, Bones, and a few trusted sec men from coming here. Even I've only been here once, when Bones showed me where they got the stuff I was using in the vill. Truth to tell, I don't think he was supposed to have even done that."
Mildred refrained from comment, but she was glad that the old man had sometimes broken the rules. And for all his faults, she wished that she had been able to do more to try to save him when the bats had attacked.
"Through the back, over on the left."
As they entered the rear of the facility, it was obvious that this was the area that, pre-dark, the public hadn't been meant to see. There was little left of any note, but Mildred could see that this had been sparse and functional. Desks and spaces where old computers had been looted. And away, where Michaela had directed her, there stood the vast metal door that guarded the entrance to the basement and the labs themselves, where the real work had gone down. The door had once been painted to match the walls, but where they had merely faded over the years, the paint had eroded and peeled from the door, leaving the metal exposed with only a few flakes to note its previous color. The lock mechanism was hidden in the door jamb and lintel, with only a keypad to the left to indicate how the door was opened.
You know the code, I take it.
Michaela had an expression that suggested she didn't.
Then what?
It doesn't need one. The lock is broken. All we've got to do is open it.
Mildred couldn't quite believe it would be this simple, that the sec door designed to guard the labs from prying eyes could be so open now, so accessible.